Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Let's talk a little bit about the region's other newspaper, the other major newspaper, the Boston Globe, and specifically the Globe's columnist Kevin Cullen, because the Globe suspended Cullen at the end of last week for 3 months without pay, following an independent investigation that reviewed his work and questioned the accuracy of some anecdotes that appeared in his column and interviews he gave after the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. Cullen has been on paid leave since April of this year when sports station WEEI noted inconsistencies in Cullen's work, including that in an interview Cullen gave with the BBC shortly after the 2013 bombing, in which Cullen tells of a scene that did not happen as he described.
Bill Richards ran the race today, and when he finished the race, his young son left the sidewalk. He went out into Boylston Street and hugged his dad. And then he went back onto the sidewalk, and his father walked on to register his time, and the bomb exploded.
Bill Richard, of course, being the father of Martin Richard, the young boy who was killed in the Boston Marathon bombing. But Bill Richard, unlike what Kevin Cullen said, did not, in fact, run the marathon in 2013. So joining me now with some analysis is John Carroll, professor of journalism at Boston University and WBUR senior news analyst. John's good to see you.
Good to be here.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more about what did the investigation find about the nature of the veracity of Cullen's columns?
There was an external review. And first, I have to say the external fact finders were former Associated Press executive editor Kathleen Carroll, who was no relation to me, and Tom Fiedler, the dean of the Boston University College of Communication, where I teach in the journalism department.
Full disclosure.
So that's my housekeeping. What they did was they were looking at two areas. They were looking at Kevin Cullen's column for the Boston Globe about the Boston Marathon at the time in 2013, and also a five-year anniversary column. And they were looking at his media interviews, many of which occurred in the immediate wake of the bombing, many of them radio over in England, BBC, that kind of thing. And what they found, and they were looking at two issues. Did he mislead readers and listeners about whether he was there at the scene?
Because he made it sound like he was.
Certainly did. And the other one was, were the anecdotes that he told, were the things that he reported accurate or not? On the first one, they talked about how he has a writing style of crafting scenes that imbue him with an omnipresence. They talked about literary devices of putting himself at the center of the scene. They talked about evocative language, and they came to the conclusion that he did not intentionally mislead the readers or the listeners. There are some who would say that is an extremely generous conclusion.
Okay, so I want to dig into this here. First, about like the narrative style, the omnipresent voice. One thing that the investigators noted is that this is a practice common among columnists. So is there just a fundamental problem with how a lot of columnists operate?
I think there can be problems how columnists operate, and it comes up from time to time. But these are very specific. He wrote a fifth anniversary column that said, I can taste the Boston Marathon bombing. I can feel Patriots Day. I can touch it. I can see it. I mean, that kind of language leads the average reader to believe he was there.
Okay, so this is interesting because from what I read in the investigation, they also basically came to the conclusion that the Globe itself didn't necessarily apply the same standards to Cullen's columns as it does to the rest of its newsroom. And in fact, there's a quote from the investigators. Managing editor Jennifer Peter, who was editing Cullen's column, said, I knew he wasn't there, and it didn't occur to me because there's a sense that this was a universal experience.
Yeah, you can take that for what it's worth. To me, it's a dodge. And I think that there are ways to be evocative without misleading the reader. And again, this is a judgment call. This is when you look at the columns to see and listen to the anecdotes on the radio to determine whether you think he's trying to convince people that he was there.
Well, you're a media analyst, so let me get your judgment call here. I mean, do you think, what does this say about the Globe and its editorial process for its columnists?
I think they're expecting a lot from readers to parse and analyze a column in that way. I think that it should be obvious if you're not there that you're not there.
Okay. But this isn't – let's take a step back here because this isn't the first time, right, that there's been an incident like this at the Globe, right? I mean, let's put him into context. Is there something larger going on here?
Well, you can look back to 1998 where there were all kinds of problems with Mike Barnicle and Patricia Smith. They were accused of fabricating, and Mike Barnicle was essentially fired. He had initially been suspended for 2 months. Then he was fired for fabricating stories. Patricia Smith had made up quotes, made up people, and she was fired as well. So you can say there's a history of this at the Globe. 20 years is a long time. I think that there's some question about the latitude that's given to Metro columnists. All three of them were Metro columnists, and you can look to the Globe and say, maybe you should be riding herd a little more. But let me just say, a newspaper can't fact check everything that goes into it every day. You have to trust your columnists. You have to trust your reporters. And I think that the Globe found that its trust was misplaced in this situation.
John, a newspaper can't fact check everything goes into its paper every day?
They cannot. It's not the New Yorker. There's no way that you can, on a daily basis, fact check everything that goes in there. You can question some things that stand out, but in the end, you have to trust your reporters. You have to trust your columnists. This is how Jason Blair got away with reporting from all over America without leaving Brooklyn.
Well, that's why I come back to what managing editor Jennifer Peters quoted as saying, that like there was a sense that this was a universal experience. So it seems I'm reading the tea leaves here, but it seems like it didn't even occur to her that she ought to fact check some of this stuff.
I think that's reverse engineering, and to me, it's just not convincing.
Last quick question. So Kevin Cullen's on suspension for 3 months. I mean, he's one of the voices of the Globe. He's one of the most prominent, popular columnists that the paper has. Does he bounce back from this?
Well, the thing we didn't talk about were the instances of fabrication, where he just basically made up things. And those are the ones that are going to come back to haunt him the most. Not the sort of nuance, did he mislead people about being at the scene, but the fact that he just made things up out of whole cloth. I think that's the credibility problem that he'll carry into the future.
The Globe will carry the credibility problem too?
Absolutely.
Hmm. Well, in the spirit of full disclosure, I also want to note that Kevin Cullen co-hosted a WBUR podcast in 2015. It's called The Finish Line. It was as we were covering the Boston Marathon bombing trial. He's also appeared on this show a number of times, Cullen has. So we had one of our producers review every episode of The Finish Line podcast and the times that Cullen also appeared here on Radio Boston. We didn't find any issues with what he said on WBUR air during that coverage. So full disclosure there. John Carroll, professor of journalism at Boston University and WBUR senior news analyst, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.